This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson in the house.
Oh.
One of the jerseys that the previous texter said he bought after Grogan stopped buying quarterbacks, only bought linebackers, and one of those was Ted Johnson.
So he was the one. God bless him. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the support. Thank you.
It's 3 o'clock. Ted's here. It also means it's time for the three-point stance.
We're 19! We're 18! 19! We're 18, shut up! Yeah, there you go! What's up? Shut up!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, fellas. Time for the three-point stance. Three hosts, three takes on the biggest stories going around in the world of sports, sometimes beyond today. We go in the order of Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Each host gets 1 minute to make their opening take, and then we open up the floor for debate after that. Andy Hart is going to lead us off. Mr. Hart, are you ready?
I am absolutely ready.
All right, Andy Hart, your 60 seconds begins now.
So I brought this up before, and I was laughed at, I was poo-pooed, and some people even said, as of Friday, the idea was dead. But I now believe, more strongly than I've ever believed this before, that Brad Marchand, who is back in Boston tonight at TD Garden, will return on a more permanent basis this summer when he hits free agency. I listened to Brad Marchand in Florida talking, and he had this to say, and I now believe we will see you again soon, Brad Marchand.
I believe Sweeney is one of, if not the best general managers in the league. I've watched him for a very long time, excel at his job, and for those who are in the organization and know the effort that he puts in every day and how hard he works, no one would question where his loyalty lies.
That is Brad Marchand, basically talking about the guy that kind of fired him, moved on from him, divorced from him, whatever negative term you want to use. And Brad Marchand is saying something Bruins fans don't even say, that Don Sweeney's the best GM in hockey. Brad Marchand is that emotional. He's with the Panthers right now. He's going to learn that the grass isn't greener, and we're going to get into the contract offers later, but he's going to realize life is good in Boston. He will be back next summer on a 3-year deal. So, Brad Marchand, this break is not a breakup.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay.
All right.
We were laughing at you, by the way.
Andy?
You weren't the only one.
Well stated. Not any more than normal. All right. Nick Fitzy-Stevens, are you ready with your opening take?
Yes, and mine is going to be from a place called reality, unlike Andy's from Fantasyland.
Okay. Well, your 60 seconds in reality starts now.
What is one of the main things people have complained, cried, bemoaned, pissed, and complained about over the last 10, 15 years regarding your New England Patriots? They have been upset about the fact that the Patriots have not spent money. Ah, the 31st in cash spending over the last 10 years. Ah, they always cheap out on the free agents. They never go get what they need. They never go shopping. They're the new interest kings of the NFL. It's awful. Well, guess what? Yesterday, Patriots fans, your football team, armed with the most money in free agency, $130 million with which to play, did just like Mike Vrabel in the new Belichick sipping orange juice photo of the internet and splashed the pot. He more than splashed the pot. He walked in and he ran that table. He gave you a new linebacker, a new cornerback, a new defensive lineman, a guard, a receiver, and there is more to come. And it was with the blessings of the Kraft family and Wolf and Cowden and everyone else working in tandem with him. So for anyone that wants to know or see that your team is committed to improvement, your team is committed to being good again, and maybe one day daring to be excellent, no complaining about them not spending money, because damn it, they're out there writing checks trying to make everything right for the fall of 2025 and beyond.
All right, nicely done. Love the positivity there with the Patriots at Nick Fitzy-Stevens. Last but certainly not least, our good friend Ted Johnson. Ted, are you ready?
I am ready, Daniel.
All right, Ted, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right. Mine's going to fall in line a little bit with Fitzy as far as just loving up a local team. You guys see that game Saturday night?
Hell
that
yeah.
Lakers game? Oh, my gosh. The Lakers coming in, with they won 9 in a row, I think, something like that. They made a trade for Luka, and all of a sudden they become a defensive powerhouse, right? Going into that game against the Celtics. The Celtics, you guys, remind me of a team I played on back in 2004 where it just felt like we couldn't do anything wrong. We were destined from the very beginning of the season to the very end to hoist that Lombardi trophy at the very end. And I'm saying it right now, it feels like there is not a team in the NBA that can touch the Celtics right now. What that game against the Lakers did, are you kidding me? Outscoring them 29-13 in the third quarter. LeBron going out with a groin injury. The defense got turned up in that game. You got Al Horford, who was second in plus-minus at +16, and Derek White was +17. These are your secondary players, but the stars came out. Jason Tatum came to play that game. A lot of times you don't see him show up maybe in these big games. 40 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. The Lakers can't touch what the Celtics give you. The Celtics, in my opinion, are by far easily the best team in the NBA, and it's not even close, gentlemen.
You guys are extremely positive here on this Tuesday.
But what happens when you get a little sunshine, Dan?
It's true. Sun comes out, we're positive.
I'm all in on this. Okay, so just to recap, Andy believes Brad Marchand is coming back to the Bruins. Fitzy is positive on the Patriots spending ways during the NFL's legal tampering period. And Ted believes that the Celtics are far and away the NBA's best. So we'll start with Andy's argument about Brad Marchand. And Fitzy, I want to go to you first on this, because you made a comment right after his opening take about Andy living in fantasy land. So I'm assuming you're not on Andy's side on this.
No, it's so infrequent that people get traded midseason, late season, away from a team on the rebuild or that has work to do, and they come back and say, yeah, sure, even though I've only got a year or two of my past prime end of career hockey insert sport here left, I'll come back and, you know, die valiantly with you guys by your bedside. No way. He's going to get a taste of what it's like to get back into not only just the postseason, but high leverage hockey, possibly even skating for a cup. And he's going to get re-addicted to that drug over people, you know, wearing his jersey at the Garden and yelling his name and, you know, hearing sound bites on EEI and getting into clapbacks with Rich Keefe. As fun as that'd be, I think we're getting sold a great bill of goods. Marchand loves Boston, but not enough to eschew chasing a couple more cups.
Do we think he'll get signed a new deal in in Florida, and if do we think they'll offer him more than what the Bruins were offering him? Because that's the big question. Is he'll get a taste, and he's going to probably enjoy playing for the Florida Panthers. But will the Florida Panthers want to sign him to a long term deal that he wanted reportedly from the Bruins, but couldn't come to an agreement?
You know what this made me think of is why can't I think of his name? The sharpshooter from UConn for the Celtics, Ray Allen. Ray Allen, when he left the Celtics and then they found out he actually took less money to go to the Heat, I do wonder if the negotiation here went a certain way and he saw certain things and he has a certain stature, would he take less money to go, maybe the same contract they were offering, the $6.3 million, would he take less money to go to Florida? The other thing that I don't really know how to analyze this in my own argument, I'm just going to be real. I believe this is a possibility after hearing Brad Marchand and how much he loves Sweeney and the Bruins, but is his likelihood of returning to Boston better if the Panthers don't win the cup or if the Panthers, let's say, win the cup? Which way makes him more likely to go back to Boston?
I'd have to know what they're offering him in a new deal. So I don't know if that's going to matter, the winning or the losing. You have to tell me, are they going to offer him let's just say they offer him a deal similar to the Bruins.
Yeah.
He'll stay in Florida.
You think?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Weather? Taxes,
all
life,
of it, all of it, all of it.
Keep, please keep going, Andy. Bruce, you talked about this morning. You're like, yeah, like you started the show at 2 o'clock, and you're just like, hey, watch out, everybody, old Rainbow Charlie here, and I am just in the best mood today because I got like an hour of sunshine.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised what that no taxes and winning in life would do to you on a regular basis. I'm sorry, I just can't see Marchand coming back.
And is anybody confused on actually what really went on behind the scenes here? So you got a guy that reportedly was wanting, you know, north of $7 million for 3 years, mm-hmm. and the Bruins were willing to give him six and change,
6.3, his number.
Okay, so they couldn't really, you know, people are mad that the Bruins didn't come up and give him a little bit more, and you think, okay, so he's got to be mad at the front office, right?
No,
he's emotional talking about Don Sweeney, and the job he's done here in Boston. So how can you have that kind of feelings for a guy that wouldn't give you the contract you want? The only thing it tells me is, does anybody know what that might be?
What?
It had to be a Charlie Jacobs decision. It had to be for an ownership.
Oh,
and
okay.
Marchand knows it. That's to me, the only thing is that Marchand knows Don Sweeney probably said to him, you know, Marchie, it's out of my hands, bud. This is what all I'm able to give you. Why else would you be crying and being emotional in a positive way about a general manager that wouldn't come up on his offer to satisfy what your requests were? That, to me, that's Don Sweeney saying, hey, bud, between you and me, this is on the owner. This isn't on me. I would sign you to whatever I want. So that's the only thing I can come up with, is that the owner got involved, and that's why Brad Marchand has the nice things he's saying, pouring perfume all over Don Sweeney. Because I can't understand why else he would be doing that when reportedly the two sides couldn't agree on a deal. Why would you be feeling that way about a general manager who wouldn't come up a little bit on your request? So that's what happened there.
That's an interesting take, and it's also a bit of a fly in my return ointment here. if he hates the ownership group, there's a possibility. No one asked him about ownership,
and he's been here. Okay, Don Sweeney's hasn't been here. When did Don Sweeney get here?
10 years ago.
So Marchand was here before Don Sweeney was here, right?
Yes, so I believe
he's
so.
He's had the same owner the whole time, but he's had different general managers in his tenure. Mm-hmm. Yet he didn't even mention the owner. Did he mention the owner at all?
Not in what I listened to.
Any audio? Did you hear one time Brad Marchand say, I want to thank the Jacobs family for allowing me to play in Boston for 16 years? But never, not once, I don't think.
They're also a little bit distant. They're not really.
I get it, but still,
you know what I mean?
Man.
Like, I've watched the Crafts hang out at the locker room door after every game and like shake every hand. That's not exactly the Jacobs family there. I mean,
LRHC.
Oh, yeah.
LRHC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, lower right hand corner.
Yep.
Does that say Sweeney?
Nope.
Don Sweeney on the bottom of that check, or does it say Jacobs on the bottom of that check?
So you're telling me if it were just Don Sweeney, my plan would work.
Of course.
The problem is the Jacobs family's involved, and they're going to screw up my plan of Brad Marchand returning to Boston.
I think they're more involved. Yep. And I'm curious. Ooh. I'll be curious what the Bruins offer. This is going to be an interesting story, because will the Bruins offer him the same? Will they raise it? I mean, he's not getting any younger, right? And so will the Florida Panthers like him enough to give him what he wants after the season ends. So there's a lot of interesting kind of tentacles on the Brad Marchand deal, in my opinion.
All right, gentlemen, we'll reset the Bruins conversation later on in the 4 o'clock hour, but let's move on to Fitzy's point about the Patriots spending in free agency. And Ted, I want to start with you. You were probably sitting anxiously yesterday as the Patriots made move after move after move. So your reaction to the wallet that was opened by the Kraft family on day one of the tampering period?
Look, I thought they did good. I thought they did damn good. You know, so people are giving them a B. I'd give them, it's definitely a solid B. Let's just talk about the first, you know, maybe the first three or four picks, okay. The first signings, you know, Milton Williams. A lot of people were worried about maybe, you know, somebody coming in and being the highest paid player that it wasn't on this team already. Did that seem like that bothered Mike Vrabel and the Patriots? Because now a new player that's never played here before is the highest paid player in the history of the New England Patriots. That'd be Milton Williams. He was the Patriots' Mario Williams, was he not? Yep. So they were gonna come hell or high water. They were gonna make sure they got Milton Williams because Carolina wanted him as well, and so it became a bidding war. So they got the guy that they wanted. He's only played 50% of the snaps, so he's not even close to being worth that contract. So when you sign a big contract like that, sometimes they'll just tell you, "Hey, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you don't have to." They're going to have to do more than what you've been doing, I think, Milton Williams, to live up to that contract. That's my opinion. They're one of their other second biggest pick for his free agent signing. Carlton Davis is going to help Milton Williams in a big way. And how is that? How does that make sense? Because here's the thing about Carlton Davis, the top cornerback on the market, along with Milton Williams was probably the top defensive tackle on the market. So they got two of the top players at their positions on the market. When you have two elite corners that the Patriots have now with Carlton Davis and Christian Gonzalez, you can play a lot more man-to-man and do it. When you play man-to-man, you can rush five guys. You don't have to rush four. You can rush five because you feel so good about your man-to-man guys. That will give Milton Williams more one-on-one opportunities than maybe he's had in the past and get more sacks. That's going to help the defensive line. Having two elite corners is going to help the defensive line in their pass rush, because now there's probably going to be more man-to-man. Mike Vrabel, in his time in Tennessee, ran a lot of man-to-man. Carlton Davis is one of the best man-to-man cornerbacks in the league, along with Christian Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. So watch the Patriots to major in man-to-man coverage and a lot of five- and six-man rushes, so that defensive line is going to get one-on-one and get to the quarterback more. So those two guys, believe it or not, There's synergy between Carlton Davis and Milton Williams, the two signings. One's going to help the other and the other. When you have two great cornerbacks and you force that quarterback to hold the ball a little bit longer, that helps what? Your pass rush. So they help each other out is what I'm trying to say. And then I'll say real quickly, Robert Spillane, I love the signing. Tackle monster. I'm a big fan of tackle monsters, but tackles for losses.
Better that than tickle monster.
Tackle for losses. He is a downhill player. There's only two types of linebackers in the league. I've told you this before, Andy. Float and field guys and downhill players. And he's a downhill player, so he will make a lot of tackles on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And I'll say this about Matt Collins. Matt Collins, 5 touchdowns last year. The Patriots ranked 30th in red zone, terrible in red zone. The most touchdowns he's ever had was last year at 5 TDs. He's a tough SOB. He is a good, hell of a good football player. And I think he can be a red zone target for Drake May and get that red zone up to where it needs to be. So those are just some initial thoughts on those three, four top players that they signed yesterday.
So Ted, what else when it comes to not only just like football abilities, Spillane, tackle monster, Milton Williams, pressuring and pushing the pocket, obviously, Carlton Davis adding to the coverage as well. Two good corners potentially now. Two good pass rushers on the defensive line if Barmore is healthy. Two good safeties back there that can bring the punch and the crunch. The defense is definitely on the up and up. Were you surprised, though? We debated this for a while yesterday. Were you surprised that they targeted defense first, considering it should have been good last year, was not an offense, just basically leaked gas all season?
When you can't get the offensive players that you want, pivot to the defense, right? If you can't get the wide receiver you want, the left tackle that you want, then you know what? Okay, those guys, they didn't want to come here. We tried. They didn't even get the free agency, the guys that we targeted. So what are we going to do? We got to pivot to defense. And if you look at the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the Eagles, would you say those teams had better offenses or better defenses?
The Chiefs, usually better offense.
You think their offense is better than their defense?
They're known for
having a better offense this year.
Oh, the defense was defense. The defense was much better.
And I'd say the Eagles defense is
Eagles was both. They were really good.
I think the Eagles defense is better than the Eagles offense. That's just my opinion. We can debate that, but the point is defense still matters. Mm. It still matters, all right? And so you want to help a young quarterback? Have a dominant defense that gives you the ball a lot, that doesn't stay on the field. I mean, the Patriots' time of possession, their defense last year, they couldn't get off the freaking field on third down. You have an elite defense, that helps your offense. It doesn't help the left tackle, but it helps get the ball more to your young quarterback and get off the field quicker. So having a good defense helps your young quarterback. Don't forget that.
All right, boys, with the few minutes we have left here on the three-point stance on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to go to Ted's point about the Boston Celtics. And, Andy, I'll start with you and with a question. Do you agree that the Celtics are leaps and bounds ahead of a team like the Lakers and other teams in the NBA? Where do you see the Celtics within kind of the power dynamic in the NBA right now?
So, first of all, as the only guy on this show that admits that he wears a Jaylen Brown jersey to the beach, I think I'm most qualified to answer this question.
Yeah. Wow. Are you sure that's something you ought to admit to?
Absolutely.
I'm not ashamed of it.
And I'm not ashamed that it replaced my Celtics Shaq jersey either. I have multiple Celtics jerseys I can wear on the boat or the beach. But I'm not quite the homer that Ted Johnson is. Excuse me. Because while I think the Celtics proved that the Lakers are pretenders, and I absolutely think they proved that on Saturday, I'm not yet ready to put a nail in the coffin of teams called the Cavs, who split the season series with the Celtics, or either of the two teams that I watched last night. And I continue to marvel that I am ending up on NBA TV watching random out-of-market games. I started watching Denver OKC last night to prep for tomorrow night when we'll be down at Scores to lead into Celtics Thunder at the Garden. And I still think both of those teams are legitimate threats to the Celtics, including, if you watched last night and you saw Jokic and Jamal Murray do the 30-30 thing that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can do to a lot of teams, it's hard to say that team couldn't beat the Celtics. So I feel great about the Celtics. I think the Celtics are trending in the right direction. Told you guys last week, I believe more in Joe Mazzulla now than I did a year ago or 3 months ago. And that's a good thing for the Celtics, right? Even including last night when he was asked about, hey, what do you think about your brother working for the Jazz? He's like, yeah, he's on the other team. Like, he's just that hard-o, weird guy.
That's performance nonsense.
You can't like Matt Collins and not like Joe Mazzulla. They're both performers.
Sure I can.
They do the Casas thing. Yeah, you should like Mazzulla because he's achieved something that Matt Collins won't. But the Celtics are a great basketball team, and I think they are one of the two or three best teams in the NBA. But, Ted, I'm not quite ready to say this is a slam-dunk, can't-lose proposition, including for the one thing, and we need to get to this at some point, halftime, the tweet from the unicorn, who's like, sorry guys, I'm still missing another game because I got a virus that they can't figure out. This poor Porzingis thing continues to weird me out. I'm not going to be worried until we get to the postseason and he's not out there, but they are. If you said Porzingis is 1,000% healthy, that increases my chances of jumping on your bandwagon. But right now, they're among the best teams.
I'm assuming he's healthy.
Okay.
I'm making the assumption that he's healthy. Even though they didn't need him,
Ted.
They didn't need him in that game against LA. It didn't matter.
Nope.
I can almost make an argument that you don't need the zinger. Until Oklahoma City does it, it's hard for me to give them. After SGA, okay, Holmgren. I don't know. They don't have a lot of players that scare me. I know they're young. I know they're hungry. And they play excellent defense, but from top to bottom, there's not even a roster that touches what the Celtics can give you.
All right, you bleed green. We'll see. That's why tomorrow this gauntlet was so important for these 2 weeks, and they're passing it right now. And if they win tomorrow night, I will say that they will have passed it with flying colors. But the Thunder, Ted, they're not only just going to be a pain in the ass tomorrow night and in the postseason, but for years to come. So keep both good eyes on that game tomorrow night.
617-779-7937. Reacting to the Celtics-Lakers, are the Celtics the slam-dunk best team in the NBA? Reacting to Brad Marchand, is he coming back to Boston this summer? Reacting a lot to the Patriots' offseason moves that have some of us really excited. B grades, A grades. But there is still more work to be done. We'll talk to Ted about that. What's left on the to-do list for these Patriots? What options are out there? 617-779-7937. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball gets us through what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by VisitFortMyers.com. Free agency continues for the New England Patriots ahead of day one of real free agency in the NFL. Yesterday's reported signings included linebackers Robert Spillane and Harold Landry, cornerback Carlton Davis, offensive tackle Morgan Moses, defensive tackles Milton Williams and Kyrus Tonga, wide receiver Mac Hollins, and quarterback Josh Dobbs. The team also re-signed tight end Austin Hooper and traded defensive tackle Devon Godshow. All told, New England has reported to have spent $282 million with $164 million in guaranteed money ahead of the start of free agency. Other notes from around the NFL, the 49ers continued their purge of aging veterans with the release of defensive end Leonard Floyd earlier today. Free agent quarterback Daniel Jones is finalizing a one-year $14 million contract with the Colts. The Texans are trading for Eagles safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson in exchange for left guard Kenyon Green. All-pro returner Kevontae Turpin, who is set to become a restricted free agent, and the Dallas Cowboys agreed to a three-year, $18 million deal. And finally, the Rams plan to release wide receiver Cooper Kupp when the NFL's new season starts on Wednesday if they can't find a trade partner. The Celtics moved to 5-1 on their seven-game homestand with a 114-108 win over the Utah Jazz last night. Sam Hauser put up a career 33 points and made 9 three-pointers in the game. His 7 threes in the third quarter broke a franchise record. The Seas have 8 30-plus point performances by 5 different players during this homestand, which wraps up tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bruins host the Florida Panthers at TD Garden tonight. Brad Marchand practiced with the Panthers this morning, but Panthers coach Paul Maurice said Marchand remains week to week, and the team hopes he'll be able to play towards the end of the regular season. And finally, in the bottom of the sixth inning, the Red Sox trailed the Philadelphia Phillies 16-4 at JetBlue Park in spring training play. Lucas Giolito made his spring training debut and gave up a pair of runs in one inning of work. He left the game with hamstring tightness. Hey, Red Sox fans, it's time for spring training in Fort Myers. Cheer on your favorite team at JetBlue Park, then explore the area between games. Turning your love for baseball into a relaxing vacation just feels right, so start planning at visitfortmyers.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Now, this is about Carolina. There is a bigger bag alert.
What?
Being handed out by the New England Patriots. Oh, yeah. We had a source today. There was a deal to be finalized for Milton Williams with the Carolina Panthers that was reported. Then we were told by this man,
yeah. Wow.
No deal had been signed. Woo. We wondered if Rap Sheet had maybe a little piece of information saying, hey, we are still very much in this game. I know it's being reported that he's going to the Panthers, but D-tackle Milton Williams, Super Bowl champion, gets a $26 million per year deal done in New England.
Pat McAfee yesterday announcing the Milton Williams signing by the Patriots. $26 million a year. Largest AAV for any player in franchise history to be the centerpiece of the defense. And we are talking about the Patriots free agency moves here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson. Ted.
Yes, sir.
One thing I questioned yesterday, and I don't have any info on this. It's just my immediate thought process. They signed Milton Williams. Do you think that's to play alongside Christian Barmore, or you think that might be because they're concerned that Christian Barmore will not be back?
I think it's to play next to him.
Because I like that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady would look at that and go, wait a minute, but you got two athletic guys coming at me?
But it's probably insurance for the latter, too.
Yeah.
So it's probably, you know, ideally you play both those guys in there. And my guess is you get, you know, you got – but when you're playing next to another stud in Barmore, it's going to raise the level of Barmore's game up. And again, like I said, when you have two theoretically shut down corners in Carlton Davis and Christian Gonzalez, you can do more blitzing, you can rush more guys, and thus you can get you don't have your best defensive lineman getting double teamed. They are now getting single blocked because you're sending more rushers. Then they can block, and so you're going to get more one-on-one, and so you give those guys more opportunities to make play on the interior. But it's probably a little bit of both, Andy. It's probably ideally they want them both together, but, you know, I just can't imagine they are done with Christian Barmore after the money they've paid him, the blood clots. They just rushed him back, I think, too soon last year, and maybe, just maybe, that is going to, you know, unfortunately – set them back with him. I don't know, but that was, to me, ideally they have them both playing inside.
Fitzy, so that would alleviate, because the one negative I've seen about Milton Williams is hasn't played a ton, and when he played, he's playing next to Jalen Carter, who's one of the more dominant human beings on the planet.
Not his fault, but yeah.
Right, but if Barmore's there, that sort of alleviates that concern. That means you are going to have two beasts out there, and the double team, you can't double team everybody conversation in the middle of that defensive line. So are you, Fitzy, do you have any concerns if Barmore's not out there and Milton Williams is suddenly the guy that he's not able to step up to sort of that stature?
Yeah, he's going to easily get double teamed all the time. Like, won't teams just game plan on the regular for neutralizing Milton Williams as best they can, which I know is easier said than done or drawn up on a whiteboard, especially when somebody is entering the peak of their playing prime like Milton Williams is right now, Ted. You can't convince me, though, the Patriots are going to be a much better team by eliminating Juwan Bentley's position or just cutting him. I know, like, his size and playing style harkens back maybe more to the Patriots of your days, Ted, and that he's a bit more of a thumper, but it's not like the guy runs with cement in his shoes. Now, Spillane is going to be the man in the middle, no doubt about it, but I can't see a world in which Juwan Bentley can't make positive contributions if he's fully healthy this year. After that, you know, maybe he full well knows this is his last year in Foxborough and he's got a chance to make a positive contribution and an impact for one more contract elsewhere. But I wouldn't be getting rid of him anytime soon. He's got to earn that spot for sure.
Ted, the one name we haven't really mentioned is a guy that made pretty good money. I want to say it was $43 million over 3 years. Harold Landry kind of got this going over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
A former Vrabel guy, former BC guy.
Correct.
With the Titans. Had a knee injury in 22. And there's been some talk of maybe he didn't get his burst back. Maybe he's not quite the pass rusher he was. And if you watch his highlights from last year, I went back and watched all his sacks.
Yeah.
There's definitely an aspect of a lot of scheme, a lot of stunts, a lot of coverage sacks.
So just another Matthew Judon in.
Similar.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Would you take Matthew Judon?
I would. My only question is, do you think people are expecting more?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, here's a guy. He's been in the league 6 years, 50 sacks total. He averages more sacks than the highest sack getter from this team last year.
Oh, yeah.
So he's already your best pass rusher.
They only had 19 last year.
I was going to say, so the three of us might average more sacks than
Ted. You so my, so that's my point. I mean, it's kind of, you can kind of, you know, it's like he's better than anything you got.
Yeah,
you know, the name doesn't jump off, but his two most productive years were under Vrabel. That should matter to some degree. I think he's just he's an upgrade over Jelani Tavai, Anfernee Jennings. He's an upgrade over, and I think Spillane is a slight upgrade over Juwan Bentley. Even though there feels like there's a little bit of redundancy there, I think Spillane at the end of the day is a more downhill player and the guy that is every bit the leader Juwan Bentley was, if not more.
So I want to squeeze in a couple phone calls here because we had some reactions to our 3-point stances, and I want to let them voice their opinions. We'll continue to talk about the Patriots reacting to what they've done and what they need to get done moving forward. But let's go to Joe in Melrose. Joe, you had a thought on Brad Marchand. What was that?
Yeah, well, I think you're right, Andy, and I think Ted's wrong. I mean, the reason why Brad Marchand is such feelings for Don Sweeney is 2 years ago when the Bruins had the best record in the league, Don Sweeney sold every draft pick he could to bring in Tyler Bertuzzi, to bring in Dmitry Orlov and Garrett Hathaway to put the Bruins in a position to win the Stanley Cup. You give the Bruins a chance with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron to win the Cup. So that's why I think he has feelings for him. And I think if the money's even, the offseason, Brad Marchand's coming back.
All right. Thanks for the call, Joe. Maybe. We'll see. We did get an interesting text that they read Marchand's emotion the exact opposite way I did. They read it as he was so emotional talking about Sweeney because he knows he's never going to be with
Sweeney
again.
That's what I said yesterday. Yeah. That's what Nick and I both were saying that last night at the end of the show. That's why we thought he was so emotional.
Yeah, but if you wanted to be with that guy that you loved him so much, all you had to do was take his $6.3 million a year.
That's what I don't get.
Yeah,
that's what I don't understand. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Square that part to me. Why?
I don't know. I'm with you. It feels like there is a little aspect of this, even as we get more reports and information of numbers and still feels like there's a little something missing. Where was the disconnect between Marchand crying about Sweeney and $1 million and he wants to be a Bruin for life? Now all of a sudden he's playing for the enemy, like the rival. Like there's something doesn't quite add up to this. Yes, Diz.
Well, I was just going to say, like, two things can be true at the same time. You can be upset that you're leaving Boston and the fans and you really loved it here. But you can also know, like, the time was up. It was time.
Yeah, it was time, except he's bawling his eyes out.
But he didn't think it was time. He never wanted to leave here. Never wanted to leave here in the first place.
And yet he's gone.
So I don't. Mm-hmm. I just think it was an ownership thing. I do. I think it was the ownership saying, nope, we're not going above this number for Brad Marchand. And that Brad knows that. And that was conveyed to Brad through Don Sweeney. Why else would you be saying all those glowing things about a guy that is the key negotiator, you would think, and you reason why you're not here? The reason he's not here is because of Don Sweeney wouldn't come up on his offer, right? According to all the reports.
Yes, Stiz.
I just want to play something. Now, this was Brad Marchand's own words earlier today.
Okay.
They put a position on a deal that they felt was fair in that regard, but also understand that it may be time to kind of reset and go in a different direction.
Yeah. But I also, Ted, so you bring up Jacobs, and we're talking about Sweeney, those two levels. We also have to remember, because of the unique sort of structure of this organization, there's a man in the middle. His name's Cam Neely, who, remember when he came out and he was popping off about Swayman? There was that weird press conference, and he threw, like, numbers out there and kind of got a little agitated or emotional. Is there any chance that Cam Neely is a factor in this? Maybe he's the guy who said, Sweeney, we're not going any higher.
I don't know exactly what Cam's role is behind the scenes. I mean, see, I just assume that Don Sweeney was the money guy, the cap guy.
Kind of is, except Cam's his boss, and between him and Jacobs.
Well, then, there you go. Maybe that's me not fully understanding the power structure there. That very well could be, because did Brad bring up Cam Neely's name?
I didn't hear it in the 3 minutes or whatever that I listened to. There was no teary-eyed goodbye Cam Neely's the best president.
So maybe I got my eye on the wrong target there. Maybe it's a Cam Neely thing.
But your point remains. If there's somebody pulling the strings that he's mad at, and they're going to continue to pull the strings, and he continues to be mad, that could prevent my reunion in the summer, regardless of whatever the details are, whoever that person may be. 617-779-7937. Continuing to talk Bruins, Brad Marchand in town tonight, if you want to hit on that. We're talking Patriots free agency, though. And up next, I want to get Ted Johnson's to-do list. There's still some things that need to be done, but who can fill the voids that remain in New England? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Well, the Rams are going to release Cooper Kupp after the start of the new league year, assuming that no trade materializes. Now, we've seen this before where the Jaguars were moving on from Christian Kirk. Other teams saw, and they offered a 7th-round draft pick for Christian Kirk and brought him into Houston. That happened. Maybe somebody will reach out and offer something nominal to the Los Angeles Rams for Cooper Kupp. We'll see whether that happens. But either way, if there's not a team that trades for him by this week, they will move on from him. They will release him. The legend of Cooper Kupp in L.A., a tremendous run, is coming to an end, and it'll officially be over one way or another this week with a release or a trade.
Adam Schefter, ESPN, talking about the impending release of Cooper Kupp from the Rams. And we're going to use that as a jumping off point to discuss the work that still needs to be done with your New England Patriots. Clearly, despite Mac Hollins' barefoot arrival, there are some holes on the wide receiver depth chart. There's some hole at left tackle. Cooper Kupp, Ted Johnson. So Adam Schefter just brought up the idea. Our own Chris Scheim, producer on The Morning Show, tweeted about this yesterday. Why do you think the Patriots wouldn't just send a 7th-round pick to the Rams to acquire Cooper Kupp and avoid any process of having to go through free agency or other teams bidding on him? Or do you think maybe it's the Rams?
It's the contract. What's his contract?
Mm-hmm. So it's not terrible.
So it's maybe the Patriots going, you know, you trade for him, but then you got whatever his contract is, maybe they don't want to pay him what his current salary is.
So my theory was actually on the other side of the ledger. And I wondered, and maybe you can speak to this, you were an NFL player, a veteran player, respect and those types of things. Maybe the Rams are paying him his respect and allowing him to hit the open market where he can go sign as a free agent with somebody, and they don't want to just send him to, Tom Curran called it, Siberia. They don't just want to ship him off to Siberia. They want to give him the ability to pick whatever team he'd want to sign with.
And I mean, part of it is you got to know from Cooper Kupp's camp whether or not he would be open to coming here.
Mm.
Like, you know, theoretically, he doesn't have a choice, but you don't want to force a guy. That's why it always makes me nervous about trades. Don't trade for a guy that doesn't want to come here.
Right.
Then you know, what's the point?
Like the Jets guy. Was it Hassan Reddick who didn't practice?
Yeah, Hassan Reddick.
Sat out for half a year and was one of the massive pain in their ass.
Bell. Le'Veon Bell sat out. So
he's in the news for the wrong reason.
You don't want to trade for guys that don't want to be here, so maybe that's the case. And we just don't know it yet. The Patriots know that Cooper Kupp really doesn't want to come here. And then also it's the contract.
Dan Ball.
Specific to your contract point there, Ted, as of March 12th, his $7.5 million roster bonus comes into effect. So I would imagine that might be the number that they don't want to pay.
Oh, what's that? When's that due?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so that's so he'll be cut before midnight tonight.
Oh, yeah, he'll be cut. I mean, that's why the Rams have to do it.
Hey, and, thank you for looking that up, Dan. That's exactly right.
And the Patriots may be trying to avoid that. If they traded for him, they're then on
down the hook for 7.5
for that
tomorrow.
Extra money.
There you go. That's the follow the money, buddy.
So who do we think besides, like, I can name 3-4 teams right off the top that would probably want to, I won't say move heaven and earth, but get involved in the Cooper Cup sweepstakes.
Does it rhyme with beefs?
It definitely rhymes with beefs. The other one rhymes with Mexans. The other one rhymes with Gravens.
Yeah, he's going to have...
They're the interest kings of every available receiver.
And to me, they
but
they're
not only interest kings. They get things done. I mean, the Texans is who I'm talking about.
They lost Steph Diggs.
And he's better now, I think,
but they
than
got Christian
Steph
Kirk
Diggs.
In a trade, though.
Yeah.
So they
But he replaces my guy Tank Dell for the season because he got messed up. That poor knee last year blew up.
But I just look at... Cooper Kupp is probably a better fit for teams like that. Contenders, Super Bowl contenders, especially with his ability to, what's it been in recent years, play like 14 games, 13 games. He can be managed more properly to be ready for the postseason run.
Well, I got one for you right here. How about this? You contact Cincinnati and say, why don't you guys sign Cooper Kupp? We'll give you a second and a fifth for T. Higgins. You don't have to pay that big salary, but this year, Joe Mixon's now throwing passes from the running back position at Houston. Joe Burrow has a reliable alternate target to go with Ja'Marr Chase, who doesn't cost nearly as much. Problem solved.
Ain't going to happen.
Am I crazy to not to not totally give up? I'm not saying it's going to happen. But, you know, like 28-3 style, this is going to be a hell of a story. Am I crazy to not totally give up on the T. Higgins idea? Is that dead and buried?
I think it's dead and buried.
I do.
No. Can I finish one thing about the Cooper Kupp is I don't think he's the worst fit here. I get what you're saying, but for a team that has no wide receivers and they are young wide receivers, you need an adult in that room. And Cooper Kupp is an adult. Yes, it doesn't fit the timeline. I get it. I totally get it. I mean, the Patriots are bringing in a lot of guys that are going into their ninth years. Three players are going to their seventh year. One player that's going into his 12th year. So they have a lot of older free agents that they're bringing in. But you kind of need bridge guys. Like, you know, like we're left tackle. Like Tyron Smith. You go, okay, Tyron Smith, he's 34 years old. He's going to be 35. It's like, I get it. But he's kind of a bridge left tackle to next year's. And then you have the same problem next year, but at least you have a bridge. I just think Cooper Kupp can be a bridge wide receiver at a lower cost. You're right. He is better for a team that's close to a championship, but he's also good for a young team that's trying to find themselves, particularly on offense, where you have a pros pro and his adult in the room at that position, which I think is more the most important position in football to have an adult in the room is wide receiver. And so he fits my criteria for what I'd want at that position.
Absolutely. I would love Cooper Kupp here. I think he's perfect for the Patriots. I'm not sure the Patriots are perfect for him. I'm not sure it's a two-way
It probably isn't.
He melding
probably
marriage.
Come here. No.
And that's why, if you remember, Fitzy, everybody told me I was nuts for wanting him at the trade deadline. Oh, he's done. He's hurt. He doesn't do this anymore.
We were both banging the drum and got some of the meanest tweets ever about it.
And then he and Puka Nacua, all they did the rest of that season was like every week they would catch a combined 12 passes for 200 yards. Including against the Patriots, don't forget. Those two kicked your ass. So I would love him. I just think if he hits the open market and he really gets the pick of the NFL litter, he's probably looking at teams that think they're Super Bowl contenders, quarterbacks that think they are, you know, leading an offense that could bring him a ring. He's probably looking at it more selfishly. But from a Patriots perspective, he could absolutely be the best adult in that room, also be the best receiver on the field. Forget just the mentor. I think he's got something left when he's on the field. The question is, how often can you keep him on the field? 617-779-7937 here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we're going to touch on the Celtics. Ted loved what the Celtics did against the Lakers on Saturday, but they also played last night. And yet again, they found a new way for a new star to shine, to get the victory, to continue rolling right along. Doesn't matter who shows up, they show up and they win. More Boston Celtics talk here on WEEI Afternoons.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. options. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.